Good morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name. It's good to be with the people of God to worship again this morning. A few observations. Brother Dale said that we chose to come. I think we were asked to come. We're glad to be here and worship with you. Told the brethren, it definitely gives me some trepidations because it's a couple tiers above what I'm used to. It's good to be with the people of God and worship with you and turn our minds heavenward again this morning. Hebrews 1 verse 1 says, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. You know, as Jesus came into this earth in his earthly ministry, he brought a dimension of heaven to earth that mankind had not known hitherto. Man came to know God in a whole new dimension as the very Son of God came and dwelled among man. It wasn't long into his earthly stay that one day he was with his parents, and they began to journey back from, I believe it was Jerusalem, and they realized that he was not with them. And they turned back in search of their son, and when they found him, I guess we don't know exactly what all they had to say, but his response was, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" And I'm told that throughout the Gospels, Jesus referred to his Heavenly Father at least 150 times. He's referred to as my Father. And I'd like this morning to turn our focus to our Father in heaven. Our Father which is in heaven. I'm glad this morning that we can be here as God's children. You know, that's what we have in common here this morning. We are the family of God. We've been bought by the precious blood of Jesus, and we are his sons and daughters, and we have a loving Father which is in heaven. The songwriter says, "Our Father's wondrous works we see in the earth and sea and sky. He rules o'er all in majesty from his royal throne on high. Our God to save from sin's control gave his Son a sacrifice. His grace abounding in the soul makes the earth a paradise." What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Reigning now above on his throne of love. What a mighty God we serve. Is this God your God? Is this your God? Is this God your Father which is in heaven? 150 times that he is given recognition to as our Father. The name Father is a supreme name for God. We want to worship him here this morning. The reference that we referred to is Luke chapter 2, verse 49, if you're taking notes. "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" A number of other passages, we'll just quick notice, just to rivet it in our minds. If you go to John chapter 10, where Jesus refers to his Heavenly Father. John chapter 10, verses 29, 30, and 38. I'll start at verse 25. Jesus answered them. This is in John chapter 10. "Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they never shall perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." This aggravated the Jews, verse 31. "Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father, which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken, say ye of him, whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe me, believe not me. Believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. And again, we could turn to many passages this morning here in the Gospels and see how Jesus referred to God as his heavenly Father. Well, we are taught in Matthew chapter 5, that's where we have the Lord's Prayer, very familiar to all of us. We are taught to open the Lord's Prayer by praying Our Father. Our first thought this morning is we think of our Father, which is in heaven, our heavenly Father. We'd like to turn our focus to him and just be reminded of the relationship that we have with him and what it means to us. The basis of our faith in him, our trust in him, is this Father-God relationship. He's our Father. A tender word, if you will. A word of a definition of authority, but a tender word. Our first point this morning, our Heavenly Father loved with a perfect love. Our Heavenly Father loved with a perfect love. The love of God finds its source in the nature of God rather than in the loveliness of his children. Love is the very nature of God. God is love. God's love is in spite of the sinfulness of man. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Romans 5 verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The great love of God, even in spite of the sinfulness of man, he reached out to him, his Father God. John chapter 3 and verse 16, golden text of the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The love of our Father God. Such a wonderful thought this morning. We must remember that our Father God is love through all circumstances and events of life. Here there are some circumstances and events that come to us in life where it's more difficult to see the love of God, but there's where it's maybe even more important that we, through discipline of life, and a search of the scripture, an understanding of the scripture, and a relationship with this Father God that helps us to see his love even in trying and difficult circumstances. So I thought of that again this morning. My memory went back to 25, 30 years ago, a business friend of mine who told me one day that his daughter, who was in her mid-30s and had a number of small children, had developed a brain tumor. And this was a very active church-going man, Sunday school superintendent, Sunday school teacher in his church. And as the event went on with his family, he told me one day that his daughter is becoming increasingly ill. And he said he just does not understand, because he's been praying to God that God would take his life for the life of his daughter, and just give him, that God would take his health and give his health to his daughter and let him die what it looks like she's going to die from. He said, and then one day he got this call that his daughter was in the hospital and she's in a coma. He said, I got in my car and I got on Route 309, and he said, I just floored it, and I was driving as fast as my car would go. I was just yelling and screaming, God, what are you doing? Where are you, God? He got there, and she had just passed, or passed soon after she got there. And he says, you know, Jim, he said, I've lost my faith in God. He said, I have my friends come to me and they want to embrace me and encourage me. And they said, he keep telling me, God is love. Just remember, God is love. He said, where's God's love? God's not love. He would have saved my daughter if God was love. And he like threw his faith and his whole belief in God out through that experience. Fortunately, time went on. He came back to grips with life, and I believe, even though I didn't necessarily approve of his obedience to the scriptures as we understand him, I believe he found his way back to his faith in God in his dimension. But I often think of him and the challenges that we face in life. Brothers and sisters, this morning, God is love. And God will always be love. Love is of God. And our Father God loves. He loved that businessman Paul that I knew. And he loves every one of us, regardless of the circumstances of life. So this morning, let's encourage ourselves in the fact that our Father, which is in heaven, is a Father that loves. He's a God that loves. Keep that foremost in your mind. Secondly, this morning, our Heavenly Father is instantly available and rewards his obedient children. He's instantly available and rewards his obedient children. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, we are admonished that when we pray, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. The promise to answer prayer, a promise that God will always be there. I'm glad this morning that I have a Father God who is always there. He wants to be there for you and for me, and he promises to be there. That's a wonderful thought again of who our Father is and how much he cares for his own. He tenderly cares for his children. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, a very familiar verse. Many of you could quote by memory. I think I could if I wasn't up here. 2 Corinthians 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. The promise that we have of our God, he gave that to Solomon. Solomon bowed down in humility here in this dedication of the temple. And this was God's response, that he would respond. And that promises to each one of us. Our Father God this morning is instantly available. Our God never sleeps. He never slumbers. He is never absent. He is always there when we cry out to him. When we seek his face, he will be found. If we seek him with our whole heart, God will always be there. There are many dead gods in the world today. That took my thoughts, my mind back to the contest on Mount Carmel. When Elijah gave that contest of whose God is the true God, and those people of Baal, they called on their God from morning till noontime to the time of the evening oblation, I believe it says, and there was neither voice nor response. Their God was dead. But what happened when Elijah called on his God? Even after dumping those 12 barrels of water on his sacrifice, on that wood, and saturating that wood till it would, humanly speaking, could not be ignited, could not burn. The fire fell and consumed the whole thing. Elijah's God was there. He was alive. He showed himself. Our God is always instantly available and blesses and rewards those who are faithful to him. God will always be there, your Father God. Our third point this morning is our Heavenly Father chastises his children. Hebrews chapter 12. Our Father God, our Heavenly Father, chastises his children. Hebrews chapter 12, I'll read verses 6 through 13. Verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is it whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards, and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. We'll just continue reading there. The purpose of chastisement. And our Heavenly Father will chastise his children. He has many ways that he can do that and does do that. But what's the purpose of it? The concluding phrase in verse 10, that we might be partakers of his holiness. For our perfection. How important is holiness of living? How important is it? Verse 14, follow peace and holiness without which no man, no one shall see the Lord. Outside of a life of holiness, separation from sin, separate from sin this morning, brothers and sisters, outside of a life of holiness, you won't see God. You won't dwell with your Father in heaven eternally. And God knows that, and he wants to teach us that. And he wants to take us and direct our lives toward him. He wants to perfect us in his holiness. And so by times he brings chastisement. He brings reverses, sickness. What might it be in your and my life's experiences to chastise and to capture our attention, to capture your attention? So our Heavenly Father chastises his children in order to produce spiritual growth and fruitfulness. As the children of God, we need to recognize and respond positively to the chastisement of our Heavenly Father. Some people respond in ill ways to chastisement. They become bitter. They turn away from their Father, which is in heaven. It's like my friend Paul that I talked about earlier. You know, as he experienced the death of his daughter and he prayed that she would be delivered and healed, and it didn't happen, there's a sense in which that was a form of chastisement that God was allowing to come into his life. We don't know why God allows these things to come into our lives, but may it be a time when those experiences come that we just search our hearts and draw close to God. Because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. God knows that when we're weak, that we'll be strong in him. That we'll cry out to him. We'll turn to our Heavenly Father. You know, it's when we get ourselves, our children get themselves into difficult circumstances. They get themselves into a corner, into a bind, that they're more quick and more free to say, you know, Dad, now what do I do? Just using that as an illustration of how it should be with our Father in heaven and how it often is. We face sickness. We face reverses in life. It causes us to turn to him. So our Heavenly Father chastises his children. Point number four. Our Heavenly Father provides for his children. He provides for his children. Going back to Matthew chapter 6 again, the Sermon on the Mount, where we kind of started out this morning. Read a number of verses there, 26 through 34. Our Heavenly Father provides for his children. Matthew 6, verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your Heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Yes, if God will care for the sparrow, the little sparrow, if God can create a lily and cause it to grow and be so beautiful, and he reminds us here that they don't have a care, how much more those who God loves, our Heavenly Father loves. He's going to care for you. He's going to provide for you. It may not always be exactly like we thought. It may not always be like we desire. But God in his sovereignty knows what is best. And we just put our trust in him. Our all-wise Father in heaven. We just look up and we say, we trust you, God. You're going to get me through this. You're going to provide. What a blessing to know that we have a Father who will provide for us the necessities of life. The necessities of life, not the wants of life, but the necessities of life. Our fifth point this morning, our Heavenly Father forgives sin. He's eager to forgive sin. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Matthew 6, verse 12. Verse 14 and 15, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not them their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our heavenly Father wants to forgive, and he promises to forgive. And God, who cannot fail, you cannot go back on his word. He says he will forgive if we will confess. And we come to him with that promise. Our Heavenly Father loves to forgive sin. He so loved the world that he sent a Savior that through his shed blood we could have forgiveness of sin, even forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness was offered even to those who nailed him to the cross. The cruelest of sinners, the vilest of sinners, this morning is offered forgiveness of sin. Each one of us here this morning, we rejoice that our Heavenly Father forgives sin. Sin in the life of a child of God affects his fellowship with God and with others. Sin hinders service, deprives him of his heavenly rewards. But God is eager to forgive men and women, if they will come to him and confess their sin and turn from their wicked ways and follow him. He grants forgiveness and cleansing. And then we have the challenge to be forgiving to our fellow brothers and sisters. Our sixth and final point this morning, our Heavenly Father gives good gifts. He gives good gifts. James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Our Heavenly Father loves to give good and perfect gifts, and they are poured down from above upon his children. Everything that you have, every good thing that you have, is from above, cometh down from the Father of lights. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, who maketh thee to differ from another? What hast thou that thou didst not receive? This morning, we have nothing and are nothing outside of God and Jesus Christ. We have nothing and are nothing outside of the blessings that are bestowed upon us from our Heavenly Father. It's only through His love. May we worship Him this morning. May we prostrate ourselves before Him, worship Him, and pray to Him, and give Him His rightful place. He brings the gift of salvation, John 3:16. We already made reference to that. The gift of salvation. For God so loved the world that He gave. And God gives and gives and gives and gives. He continues to give. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. The gift of salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. He gives gifts to the church. Our loving Heavenly Father does. He gives the gift of the Holy Spirit to come and indwell. Jesus told His disciples that it was important for Him to go away so that the Comforter could come and abide with each one of them and guide them into the truth of God's Word, guide them in their lives. He gives the gift of the church. We are so blessed this morning to be able to fellowship in ways like this, and I think we take it for granted sometimes. When we come together and we fellowship around God's Word, and our focus is on our Father in Heaven, but He gives us the gift of the church. He gives us the gift of pastors. He gives us the gift of teachers. He gives us the gift of parents. He gives us the gift of Christian homes. On and on the list goes. Our Heavenly Father gives and gives out of His abundance. But His resources are never exhausted. Never exhausted. He continues to give and give and give. Psalm 116, verses 12 through 14, the psalmist raises this question. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits unto me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Psalm 116, 12 through 14. That should be our heart cry this morning. How shall I respond to all the gifts and all the good that God, my Heavenly Father, gives to me day after day after day? He continually pours out His blessing. He pours out His blessing. What can I give back? What can I render unto the Lord for all His benefits, for all His blessings to me? What is God looking for? He wants us to give our life back to Him. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What does God want? What should be our response? What shall I render unto the Lord? I'll give Him back my life. He gave me my life. He's my creator. He's my sustainer. He's the sustainer of the whole universe. We humbly fall before Him and we say, here I am. I'm yours. I'm ready to serve you. I'm willing to serve you. And what a great Father to serve. What a great Father to serve. He continues to give and give. Out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. Our Father in Heaven. Question I'd like to leave with us this morning. Is this Father figure that we were looking at, pondering just a bit this morning, is He your Father? Is He your Father? Is He your Father just when you need Him? Or is He your Father? Is He your Father today? Will He be your Father tomorrow? Will He be the one that your thoughts and your mind go to as you live your life on from today and the days ahead as the Lord tarries? We are so blessed this morning to have such a loving and kind Father who has made Himself known to us and who wants us to grow in our relationship with Him. May God bless each one of you as you study the Word, as you draw close to Him, as you allow Him to bless your life, that you in turn can be fruitful and bless the lives of others. Walk close with your Father. Keep that relationship open, and it will be a blessing. Thank you, and God bless. Shall we pray? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. We bow our heads and our hearts before thee here this morning. We want to thank thee that you are our Father. Thank you for making yourself known to us, so clearly helping us to understand who you are and how you would have us to live, how you would have us to relate to you. Thank you for a provision of salvation through your Son, Jesus, our Savior, that we can have our sins forgiven, and we can have peace. Help us to follow peace and holiness, Lord, knowing that without it, we will never see you. Help us to grow in our relationship with you, Lord. We commit ourselves to you and resign ourselves to what you bring into our lives, ere we know what it is, because we know that you know what is best. Draw us close to you, Lord, and help us to grow in this relationship. Help us to grow in our love for thee and our love for one another. Again, thank you for your word. Bless it to the development of each one here this morning. Continue to challenge us and guide us through your word and by your Holy Spirit. Thank you for brothers and sisters in the faith. Bless this congregation and the witness that goes forth from this place. Bless each family, each father and mother, grandparent, each young person, each child of yours here. Help them to live faithfully for you. Help us to encourage one another as we go on in life's way. We want to give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.